Today on the Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about the ghosts of Appalachia with Pam Huff and Rhiannon Kennedy. Now, I know there's a place that you just went to, I think, the Price Mansion.
Yes.
And I tried to look some stuff up on that, and I couldn't really find very much. What's that location like?
I'll let Rhi tell you about some of her experiences there. She had a lot more this past time than I did.
Because were you just there this past weekend?
Yes, we were there Saturday.
And Rhiannon, what did you think? What happened when you were there?
Well, I had two newbies with me. They had never been ghost hunting before. They were so excited. And the husband didn't really believe in the paranormal. Thought it was all a joke, kind of. And one of the other guys that were with us went into the bathroom, took a lock, and was trying to scry in the mirror. And he came out, and he's like, I seen a little girl. So the husband said, oh, I want to try that. So he took the little light, went in the bathroom. He was in there 2 minutes. He came out and said, nope, nope, nope.
Oh, he saw the little girl?
We're like, standing beside me. Like, he left a believer. And his wife said, what did you see? And he said, she was standing right beside me.
Oh.
Yeah.
That would freak me out.
Yeah, so
that really would, especially if you're a skeptic and you're. It sounds like he might have been just indulging his wife. Let's go out and do this, ha ha ha.
And he kind of sit back down because we were all sitting like on a bed because it's like a bedroom, then it goes into a bedroom, and the door opened on him. There was nobody outside the door. You heard it turn and latch, and open,
and nobody there.
Nobody was there. So he left. His wife messaged me. She's like, I'm coming back. I don't know if he will or not.
So he left. That was it. Enough for him.
He was gone.
What is it about the Price Mansion? What happened? Do you know anything about its history that might explain some of the activity there?
Well, he was a surgeon for the coal company. I don't know if you know much about like coal mining history, but the original coal operator, coal owners, they weren't warm and fuzzy guys. And like he was the surgeon, he worked for them. He didn't work for the union. He could care less about the men. And like at one point in time, that area was the number one in quote unquote train deaths in the nation. Now, it's very hard to get hit by a train. They're very loud. They don't sneak up on you.
Right.
So they had a lot of, like, problems there. The Baldwin Felts, they were pretty much hired thugs. That's what they were, to keep the miners in line. And it was just a rough area. And when they would get, quote, unquote, hit by this train, they would bring him to the surgeon to fix him up. So if you go into the basement and you talk about unionizing and Mother Jones and, you know, talk about Collins, who owned the mines, you'll get a lot of activity, a lot of activity.
That's really interesting because you're really just pissing them off at that point, I'm going to guess.
We're good at that.
Pam says with a laugh.
Yeah. Well, and it's just across the road from the Whipple Company store. And there are some crazy tales about it, too.
Well, and coal mining is such a dangerous profession. We don't have it where I live. But from what I've heard, anyway, and they didn't take good care of these people. You know, they're just workers.
And if your husband died, you had 7 to 10 days to find a husband, or you had to leave. You had no home.
A week and a half to find a husband, and I've been looking for a long time. It's not that easy.
Well, I mean, you couldn't be picky in those
right.
days. If he had 3 teeth, he was golden. So
wow.
But
the company owned even their housing.
Mm-hmm.
they would not allow the families or the widow to stay there.
So not without a working man.
Because they can bring someone else in and who's going to be working, and they can have the house.
Right. Yeah. And or they could send one of their children into the mines. They would take children as young as 7, 8 years old.
My grandfather was, I think he was like 10 or 11, and he would take the mules in and out of the mines.
And so
he told
me
that story.
It just feels like the Price Mansion then would be a much darker energy there.
Well, it is at times. Now, you know, we have done our deep dive into it, and you were talking about not being able to find much, and that has fascinated us too, because this was a prominent family, and you literally cannot find anything but the lineage. You know, you can find who their children were, who their grandchildren were, so on and so forth. You do not really hear anything about them personally. Mm-mm. You know, and there's rumors that maybe Dr. Price was not the most scrupulous. Of course, we have no way of proving that. And, you know, and I did actually reach out to a family member, but she really couldn't tell me much and, you know, probably wouldn't want to tell me a lot of family secrets that maybe they wouldn't want spread around. But there is a darker energy at Price. Absolutely there is.
Because just if those are the people haunting it, they weren't kind in life. You know, maybe a spouse or kids, they might have been. But, you know, if it is the doctor, you know,
patients.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of anger there, it feels.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it, but you can feel it in the basement.
That's so interesting. Because you wonder what happened in the basement.
Well, the tracks come up to the bottom of the house, and they would bring, like, there was a hospital. I almost said hotel, sorry. There was a hospital, McKendree Hospital. It wasn't very far. They had, like, nurses and doctors, but they didn't have surgeons. So they would put people on trains and put them
off. Oh, that's interesting.
And then bring them in through the basement.
That's why you're getting all that activity down there.
Yeah.
Well, and the basement may have also doubled as a morgue. We don't know that, but, you know.
There is a drain in the middle of the floor, which could be for flooding, but it's a very odd little basement. And we were doing an Estes down there, and I kept hearing a man whisper in my ear that wasn't on the radio. So I took it off, and I'm like, somebody else, just make sure I'm not hearing things. The non-believer gentleman, sit down. And he was down about 5 minutes, got back up, said, nope, he growled at me. Something growled. There should not be a growl on the radio.
No, there
shouldn't.
So
another kid grabbed it, and I call him a kid. He's in his 20s. And he said, yeah, something's trying to talk to me, but it's not the radio. And it was like, all of a sudden, the room filled up with cigarette smoke, and there was no one smoking in the vicinity of the house.
Very distinct smell.
Very, yeah, like Marlboro Red, old school cigarette.
The unfiltered kind.
Yeah. So, and we all were like, because I radioed up, and I'm like, is somebody smoking outside? And they're like, no, everybody's where they should be. But it was so strong. It was unreal.
And as paranormal investigators, if you are going to smoke, you're going to go a ways away because you know that could be picked up in the house. And that is something that a lot of people, including myself, have experienced.
Yeah.
Random cigarette smoke smell.
Yeah.
When there's nobody smoking. And you know the smell.
Yeah. Well, and I'm a smoker, so...
So you would know.
I can't smell it as strong, but I smelt that. Like, it was like someone was blowing it in my face. So it was very strange. And I even asked him, I'm like, it's not off my shirt. Is it, you know, is it me, you know, where I smoke and you guys don't? And they're like, no, this is like, it's in my face.
I want to ask
you. We have designated times. But if you have 15-minute breaks between floors, so if you need to go out and smoke or go to the bathroom, whatever, you can. And this was well after that time.
And that makes sense to me because it's just like, you know, if you're going to be outside talking, you could be, people on the inside might pick up on you, and that feels paranormal when you're just outside talking. So you really do have to structure in a way where you know there's nobody out there.
Exactly. And that's what we do. We do 45 minutes per floor, and then we'll do a 15-minute break, and then we'll switch floors. That way everybody gets the experience of all the different floors, and they get a break, you know, and that kind of keeps everybody refreshed, you know.
Now, I do want to ask you about the I don't know if I'm going to say this correctly. Campbell Flanagan Merle House?
Yes. Yeah, you said it correctly.
Because it's going to go Merle or Morel. I wasn't sure. This is a really old-looking house, but it looks to be in pretty good shape. It's a museum now?
Yes.
And this is another location that you have investigated?
Yes, we've been there a few times. We love working with them. They are absolutely amazing people. They keep that place alive on donations. The Campbell Flanagan Mural House was, I think it was built, correct me if I'm wrong, Reed, but I think it was around 1899.
I think so.
What I looked at says 1875.
Okay. So and see.
That came from the
1899's price.
Yeah. Yes, you're right. Yeah. And it's interesting because it looks like you see three floors as you look at it. But mm-hmm. is the bottom floor, was that the general store?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And it was one of the first mercantiles in the town of Hinton. So they sold everything.
Yeah, you can tell this is old.
Yeah. And behind that home is an actual summer kitchen that they're getting ready to renovate.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because you'd want that off the back of the house because it would heat up the house so much.
Right. Right. And the house is cold when it's cold and it's hot when it's hot.
Oh, I bet. And it says little has changed since the home was constructed over a century ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like, you know, I always say this, but if you drive by, I think that is one that you would go, bet it's haunted.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah. So the Campbell families, they operated the general store.
Right. That was Edgar and Elizabeth Campbell. They passed the home. Of course, the general store was on the bottom floor. The upper two floors were the family living quarters. They passed the home down to their daughter, Alice, when she was betrothed to John Flanagan. And this is something I find really interesting with mm-hmm. that too, because they had sons, but that home passed daughter to daughter to daughter.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yes, especially for that time.
Yeah.
But, you know, they had passed the home, and they were still living. But when their daughter, Alice, was betrothed to John Flanagan, they actually deeded the home to her, and they moved so that the newlyweds could have that home. They, of course, John Flanagan was actually killed tragically in a train accident. His wife, Alice, remained in the home until... her daughter, Mary, was betrothed to Robert Mural, and I said it wrong, Merle. it was deeded to Mary before Alice passed, and Mary and her new husband moved in, and then they only had one child, a daughter named Mildred, and Mildred was the last to live in the home. So it has never been out of family possession.
Isn't that something? So Mildred passed away in the 1980s, and then did it sit empty for a while, or did it become a museum shortly thereafter?
I think that it sat empty for a while, and then the Preservation Society took it over and brought it, you know, brought it back to life, back to what it was.
Yeah, it was in, from what I'm understanding from them, it was in a little bit of rough condition, but they just redid it. They didn't change anything.
Oh, I would love to go in there.
So they just restored it.
That would be so interesting. So is this one of the locations where you're like, I think I'm going to call them up and see if we can do an investigation there?
That's exactly what we did. Ree was the contact. She initiated that one. So I'll let her tell
I get stories. Why you would think that place is haunted just by looking at it. I think you could go, pretty good chance.
So funny story. I just seen it on Facebook and started following it because it was an old house. And I'm like, I bet that's haunted, you know. And I just sent him a Facebook message. I'm like, hey, you know, we're Appalachian Ghost Tours. We would like to see if you'd like to let us do an event here. We'd like to bring tourism in. And they were all for it. Like, it went a lot smoother than I thought, because I thought they'd be like weirdos, you know. But no, they really were all about it. She called me immediately and she's like, yes, come. And we've been working with them. We've done quite a few events there.
We have. They actually had us come back a couple of weeks ago for the anniversary of John Flanagan's death. It was interesting. It got a little wild in there. That
horrible death. Horrible death, yes, by the way.
Terrible. Gruesome.
He was pinned under the boiler of a steam engine.
Oh, my gosh.
In a train, like the train wrecked. And instead of taking him to the hospital, they brought him home, and he, you know, it had to be horrific, and he died in the home.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, they said he lived about 2 hours after they brought him home.
So yeah. Do you think he's still in the house?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Very much so. Yeah.
And has he kind of confirmed that coming through?
Yes.
Oh, you both said that at the exact same time. I need to hear this story then.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell this story first, and then I'll let you tell some of yours. So the very first time that we were in there, when we went to do our preliminary, I sat an EMF meter out on the table of what would have been the dining room at that time. And it's still set up as a dining room, but there is also a portrait of Mr. Campbell and news articles about the train accident in there. So just your run-of-the-mill EMF meter, sit it on the table. And so what I did was, like, you know, I'd like to know your name, and I'm going to start saying the letters of the alphabet. When I get to the first letter, make it light up. Well, it shot all the way up to red on J. Then I started with second letter, shot all the way up to red on O. Third letter was H. Now, it did shoot up right after I said M, so he didn't give me time to get to the end. But, I mean, like, could that be coincidence? I mean, I suppose it could, but it's a big one for it to sit there idle and then respond to, you know, to every letter. Now, it did get the M, you know, shoot up on M instead of N, but, you know, N comes right after, so.
And they kind of sound similar.
Exactly. Yeah, so we got that, and we've had a lot more, but that was one of the things for me that was very confirming.
That's interesting. Rhiannon, have you had experiences with him?
Yes. I'm not sure if it's him, but there's something in the general store. So the first night we did an overnight, we had a public, and then the public left, and we just stayed overnight because they said we could. Everybody went to sleep. Well, I could not sleep, so I thought, well, I'll just get up, get all my equipment together, and that way, you know, I'm ready to roll in the morning. So I was the only one up in this house, and I'm trying not to turn on the lights and wake people up. So I went down to the general store by myself, and I'm getting everything together, and I kept hearing things, and I'm like, I locked that door. I know I did. So I start up the stairs with a tote. And these are really, really tiny stairs.
Very narrow.
Very narrow. And there's like a ledge on the side of it. And I thought, if I could get up so far, I'll just put the tote there and slide it. So I got up to where I could put the tote up, and something ran up the stairs behind me.
Oh.
And you heard it. Boom, 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 boom. And I thought, oh, God, somebody has stayed behind. I thought it was a person. I was going to swing a tote at him.
Right.
And I just kind of jumped back over on the ledge and looked, and there was nothing there. So I said, look, it's very late. I'm just getting my stuff. Please leave me alone. And it did. Because I went down a few more times. Now, I always felt like I was being watched, but it never ran after me again. I have bad knees. You can't run after me because I can't run.
It's not fair.
You know?
I can hurt myself.
You know? You obviously have ethereal knees. Mine don't work.
Right.
So, and then the last time we were there, we had motion detectors that would set an alarm if anything moved, pointed, because there's two doors, and they're storage doors. We had them pointed towards those doors, and they just kept going off. No one was close to them. The spirit box was rolling and, like, intelligent responses. And one of the girls down there said, can you make my flashlight go off? And it came through the spirit box and said, lady, that was in the past. And
that's
I thought that
crazy.
Was the funniest thing in the world. And then when we were all, there was a small group left. And everybody was kind of upstairs doing their thing. And they come up and they said, I've seen what I wanted to see. And I'm like, what'd you see? And they said, we seen somebody walk up and slam the front door. And there was nobody else there. So they were sitting watching the door. And they seen a shadow walk into the door and slam it and disappear. And then we all went back down. Like, it was time to leave, and we were kind of counting the cash and getting ready to roll. And the front door slammed shut again. So there's something in that general store. I don't know what.
No kidding.
But, yeah, there's something down there.
Like, I would just like to go in and see the museum part. I just think it looks incredible. But, man.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Gorgeous home.
Just looking at it, I'm like, haunted.
Well, if you ever come this way, we'll take it.
Oh, I would love that so much. Now, is the best way for people to keep up with you through your Facebook page then?
Yes.
So it's Appalachian Ghost Tours.
Appalachian Ghost Tours.
Got it right that time. So all you have to do is search, and I can put a link too in the show notes so people can just click on that. And do you have investigations and activities scheduled a little ways out?
Yes, our next one is in April. We're doing the Graham House, which was one of the oldest homes in the area. It's like a, I think it's either a two or three story, I think it's two story log cabin.
And it's actually still on its original foundation.
Oh, that's right interesting.
Yes.
The family was attacked by Native Americans. They were homesteaders and, you know, that was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they killed the son and I think a servant. And they had kidnapped the daughter. And the father spent 8 years tracking her down and trading back for her and bringing her home.
And was he able to?
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yes, he brought her home. And the legend is he put the horse's shoes on backwards. So they couldn't follow him. They weren't sure which way he went on the way home.
That's a great story right there.
Right? I mean, it's a huge piece of history. And I'm super excited about it. I love old homes.
Yeah, that'll be really good.
And we have access to, there's a one-room schoolhouse on the property. We have access to it. We have access to all the floors. I'm really excited about it. I know the rest of us are too.
Absolutely.
Well, and if somebody's doing a little road trip this summer, like that could be really fun to go do an investigation with you guys.
Yes, come out and we feed you. We all have our food handler card.
Even better. This is a great deal.
Some home cooking and some, you know, haunting. Well, hey, you can't beat it.
Well, and just look for the link in the show notes or just search Appalachian Ghost Tours on Facebook. And Pam and Rhiannon, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Yes, anytime.
And that wraps up our conversation with Pam Huff and Rhiannon Kennedy about Appalachian Ghost Tours. For more information, just search Appalachian Ghost Tours on Facebook. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, you could become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or you could also sign up at patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.